Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dana Carvey and David Spade here.
You might know our podcast, Fly on the Wall, featuring guests from across the entertainment industry.
We decided to do a spinoff called Superfly, and it's fun. It's just two of us riffing on current events, pop culture, catching up, impressions.
Joe, Trump's trying to be a dictator.
Yeah, just bump on the tater tots.
Joe, no.
Listen to and follow Superfly on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast.
What's up? What's happening? It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. We're streaming live on YouTube where you see, is that Capital One Arena you're sitting at? Oh, it sure is. It sure is Capital One Arena that I am at today ahead of the Bulls and Wizards tonight. NBA Cup action. So, Anthony, basically I had to come see that big fancy red floor for myself.
Was it hard on the eyes?
No, I feel like it's easier on the eyes in person. I feel like one of the weird things about, and obviously it's a Vibe Check Tuesday. We will get into all the football here very, very quickly. And we actually have some breaking roster news in 30 seconds. But just to finish the thought, on TV, I often feel like it's hard to tell that it's a wooden floor. It almost looks like a sport court situation. You can tell it's wood when you're in person. You're like, oh, that's an NBA floor. It's just painted funny. So that's that.
Yeah, I gotta see it for myself then. I just gotta wait then.
Okay,
it does look very, very tough to
I mean, if you want to come after we're done today,
I could do that too.
You could we can get you in here. Anyway, apropos of none of that, it is a Vibe Check Tuesday here on the Hoffman Show, and it's a Vibe Check Tuesday that starts with breaking news. The Commanders have placed Austin Seibert on IR. So that hip either got re-aggravated, wasn't good enough to kick in the first place, and he passed whatever tests, and that was a bad idea. Or they were like, look, buddy, you can be on IR, and you can rehab for a bunch of weeks here, or we're going to cut you. And he was like, I'll go on IR. So it looks like, I would imagine, Zane Gonzalez is going to be the kicker for the Commanders. He's still on their practice squad. They can call him up one more time. But in the immediate, or I guess two more times, I think you can call a guy up three times from the practice squad, and I think he just kicked once. And in the meantime, the Commanders signed Chris Rodriguez back to the team. Now, Austin Eckler is not on IR, so even if he's out this weekend, I guess they don't think he's going to need to miss multiple weeks, which is honestly fantastic considering how scary that injury was in the moment. The Commanders also released Marquise Hayes, a guard from their practice squad. They signed a defensive tackle, Viliami Fehoko Jr. So they add a little bit of depth on the defensive line. Practice squad, these practice squad guys, all due respect to them, but they tend to get rotated out throughout the season. And I guess this guy's time. So that is the news. Austin Seibert, fresh off of the very frustrating misses over the weekend, where he did not look like himself, missed the first two extra points he's missed all year, is headed to IR, and the Commanders will likely have Zane Gonzalez kicking on Sunday against Tennessee. Coming up on the show today, it is a weird day for us because it's our last day of the week, and it's only Tuesday between the holiday, and we got Maryland hoops on our station tomorrow. So, Anthony, we're going to try to fit basically four shows worth of content into one show that ends 15 minutes early.
I think we're the guys for the job, Craig.
I agree. And to start, let's get right into it. We typically start Tuesday with some reflections from the film, and then we get to your calls at 301-230-0980 because that's how Vibe Check Tuesday works. It is your vibe, not necessarily mine. I will say my vibe, though, is pretty frustrated, Anthony. That is some really frustrating film to watch. And on the highest of levels, it is a reminder of what the standard is in the NFL. And that is, offensively, there is one standard, and defensively, there is another. Because if you were to green dot, red dot the film, play by play by play, green dots for good plays, red dots for bad plays, there isn't that much difference in the offensive and the defensive number of green and red dots. Which I know sounds crazy, because the defense held a shutout till almost halftime and held the Cowboys to 10 points into the fourth quarter, and then the offense only scored 9 into the fourth quarter. And even through that portion of the game, first three quarters, take the zany fourth out of it, green dots, red dots, not that dissimilar. The problem is you need so many more green dots on offense than you do on defense. And so what would happen is the Commanders would start to put together a drive, and then Tyler Biadasz quick snaps. He accidentally snaps on one when it's supposed to be snapped on two. Now you're in second and long. You have an incompletion on second and long, and now you're in third and long, or you have a short pass, whatever it was, and now Dallas is bringing a blitz, and Jaden's under pressure, and he's flushing out, and he can't find anybody downfield, and poopsie-daisy. You have another drive where you have a holding penalty. Actually, they overcame one of their holding penalties in the game. That was a Senate hold. But, like, you have a bad run. Okay, we got one red dot. Now we got an incompletion. That's another red dot. And now you're in third and long, and they're, now all of a sudden we're in this three and out zone that they get to in the third quarter. But on defense, like, you'd think, oh, my God, they were dominant. They didn't give up anything. Well, you have the missed field goal. Things are accentuated by, or I should say, you have a missed field goal and a blocked field goal. They also blocked a punt, which is cool, but doesn't really affect the defense at all outside of field position. But, like, they would make a play, give up a play. Make a play, give up a play. And I think that is what makes this film so frustrating, is it's just in the biggest moments. Like, offensively, they could not make the plays. Jaden was 0 of 7 on third down in this game. 0 of 6 against man coverage, which is wild. And then part of it was the way the Cowboys played. Because, Anthony, we actually talked at the tail end of the show yesterday about the Commanders' pass rush and how ineffective it was and how Dan Quinn was super not thrilled with it after the game. And so I brought that thought to the podcast, and Logan, like, brushed me off. And I was like, dude, they had 4 pressures. And he's like, well, let's look at it. Anthony, the Cowboys threw, like, 6 passes past 10 yards in the entire game. 2 of those 6 were play action. So if the Commanders got 4 pressures, and they were to come on those 4 snaps that were not quick game and not play action, their pressure rate and true dropback would have been 100%.
Yeah.
So that tends to change your impression of things just a little bit. Mm-hmm. So the Cowboys just played this extremely, extremely conservative game plan where they either ran the ball, and they were way more effective. That's the thing that I think is frustrating on the defensive side, is they gave up major rush yardage. But at the same time, they play with lighter boxes. They know they're bend but don't break on some level. Although they would, of course, love to stuff the run. Like, they do give up some of what they give up by design. And then, realistically, they did a good job of keeping everything else in front of them outside of, like, one or two plays. The St. Juice chin combo screw up down the right sideline right before the half, which cost them 3 points. BSJ is playing underneath it. Chin is over the top of it, and somehow the ball gets in between the two of them. Either one of them, please make a play. Be our guest. They don't. Chin, by the way, not as good in this game as I thought he was initially. That's why you watch the tape. Plays hard, plays fast, plays physical, some coverage issues, and some run fit issues. But that play, and then they have this one crosser to CeeDee Lamb that's just an outrageous play by CeeDee Lamb to, as he's running all the way across the field, cut in front of a defender and snatch the ball out of midair. But Lamb had 10 catches or 12 like total attempts in the game. He ran 9 hitches, that one crosser, and then he had a like shovel pass on the reverse where Dorrance Armstrong harangued him. And then he had one of the ones where he was lined up in the backfield on like the second play of the game. It was a pitch, but they made sure to pitch it forward so it counted as a pass attempt, which is very silly. I mean, that's actually not silly. It's actually smart because if, God forbid, the guy drops it, it's an incomplete pass instead of a fumble. But anyway, it's not a rushing attempt. It's a pass. Those are the 12 targets that CeeDee Lamb had, and that's why he had 10 catches for 67 yards. He literally had 9 hitches in the game. And they tackled him well on all of them. And so I think that, like, the way the Cowboys played was frustrating and good enough only because they were never forced out of it. Offensively, if Washington had just sustained some drives, they can't play that way. They never did. They just continue to play that way. Not a whole lot you can do. And that kind of is how that game goes. So what do you think about it on the phones? 301-230-0980, 301-0980. It is a Vibe Check Tuesday, and we are seeing where you're at next on the Team 980.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
Live from Capital One Arena, it's the Hoffman Show on the Team 980. Always live as well on the free Odyssey app. You want to see a sneak peek at what it looks like on the court, just go to Instagram at Hoffman W, or sorry, not at Hoffman W Sports. That's a different thing. We did do an NWSL recap show today there. That's on YouTube. Hoffman.sports. Hoffman.sports is the Instagram page. So you can check out my story and see where we're at here outside section 106, 107 and the bright red NBA Emirates Cup court that is on the inside. So, Anthony, you just heard kind of my vibe and as we wait for some calls here at 301-230-0980. By the way, coming up at 4:45 are tier rankings. We're going to put those there in the show today. Can the Commanders stay in prime contenders? Hint, probably not. As we reconfigure where we are going into week 13. But you just heard my frustration kind of where this defense is, where the offense is after watching the tape. So what's your vibe this week?
Yeah, I wanted to piggyback pick up from where you were just talking about the defense and basically like the Cowboys game plan. I think you can afford to be that conservative when your defense is, you know, limiting our offense to field goals, forcing three and outs. So I think the gameplay sort of fell in the Cowboys' hands just because we already know they didn't have that explosive of an offense. The run game wasn't all that good. Like, Dallas stinks. And they were injury ravaged on the offensive side of the ball. So they were already at a disadvantage there. So that's the only thing I wanted to add there. And on Friday, I know I had talked about, you know, the first 15 minutes of the game being very, very important for the Commanders. And we keep getting out to these slow starts, man. We keep...
Yeah, it's a weird bit because they were so good earlier in the season. And I know that it's something that they're, you know, when they get these full-speed practice reps, like you run through the script, and those first 15 really should be some of your best offense of the day. And instead, they are struggling early. They can't get a rhythm. And I think a huge part of it is the offensive efficiency and in the run game is just not there. Like, they're getting 3 yards way too often, and you're in second and seven, and then you're an incompletion away from being in third and seven. And the thing is, like, it'd be one thing if they were just getting their butts kicked up front and it was the same guy. And we've had that at times throughout the years with this franchise where it's like, yeah, the left guard just isn't very good and there's only so much you can do about it. But now it's like, oh, in this play, it's Allegretti. There's one key play where they would have had a bomb and Cosme gets beat. And you're like, pretty good game from Sam Cosme. He's arguably their best offensive player. He lost that rep. You want to know why? Because Micah Parsons was in front of him. And Micah Parsons beat Sam Cosme. And sometimes Micah Parsons is going to beat Sam Cosme. And if he does it 3 times in a game, that's a terrible day for Sam Cosme and a great day for Micah Parsons. And that doesn't seem fair. But, like, that's the bar of good offense in the NFL. It does take 11, especially in the run game, but in the pass game as well. And it's kind of funny watching the comments roll in on some of the YouTube stuff, Anthony, and obviously we'll take some calls here in person in a second at 301-230-0980. But I've literally gotten, they need to throw more bubble screens, they need to throw less. A lot of they need to throw deep, even though, like, I actually think they were looking deep a little too much in this game. Because, for instance, the deep shot they take to Terry down the left sideline on, I think it's the third drive of the game. I'm kicking myself because I forgot my, my film notes at home, in the Take Command studio. But, okay. It barely misses. It's a good shot. It's a good throw. Like, it misses by that much. Well, now you're in second and 10. And I think they give up a pressure, and now you're in third and long, and, like, Jaden has to, like, dump the ball off quickly, and now you're in third and 7, and you try to run a hitch, and it goes begging or whatever it was on that particular one, and now you're 3 and out. And if you had just gotten 3 yards on first down, and now you're in second and 7, well, you get 3 yards again, now you're in third and 4, and that's a lot more manageable. And so, like, this is the conundrum of being a play caller in the NFL. It's really hard because there are no obvious answers. The correct answer is the one that's going to work. The problem is you don't know it's going to work until after you try it. Otherwise, it wouldn't be professional football.
No, I definitely would agree with that. I think something also on the offensive side of the ball that we've sort of kind of gone away from are the two running back sets. I know there was a play in the game where Sennett was in the backfield with Jaden. Oh, it's when Jaden scored, actually. I think it was a read option. I'm not sure, but I know
that
he came.
That play, I think Bates was in the backfield and Sennett got out on the edge. Either way, Sennett wound up on the edge and just absolutely drove Deron.
Somebody.
It was Deron Bland through the turf.
Yeah. I mean, I just think we need. I would love to see the offense go back to, like, some of that stuff because it was effective early in the season, the two running back sets. Granted, B-Rob and Eckler, they haven't been in the lineup together, so it's been a little tough.
It's been hard. They've tried to do it with Eckler and McNichols. It hasn't been as effective.
Yeah,
I do think Robinson and Eckler, I mean, one, can we get either one of them on the field this weekend? That'd be cool. But, like, getting them on the field together, but because they've been banged up, you probably want to limit their reps a little bit. Like, you want to have them out there, you know, 40, 50 reps each, and each time they're out there together, that's a double rep.
Yeah.
Even if one of them's not getting the ball, like, the other one's executing a fake, like, you're still doing stuff. So it's a challenge. Like, this is the conundrum. And, like, you know, I saw some folks talking about the heavy boxes that Dallas was playing. Dallas was stacking the box. Dallas was stacking the box because the Commanders went to 13 personnel a ton, aka 3 tight ends,
yeah,
a ton in this game. And it was successful for some of it. So it's, I think the magic of Cliff earlier in the year was that he was always able to find the thing that worked, and he hasn't quite been able to do that in the last couple of weeks. And what I would tell people is not that that just is okay, accept it, but it's not for lack of trying. Like, someone earlier was like, where's his creativity? It's still there. Like, the play design on the Bates fumble is a sick play design. They had been running quite a bit on first down, and, you know, they had Eckler in the backfield. They fake a toss to the right. The whole defense goes that way. They even pull, I think they pulled Cosme from the right guard to go out and, like, he was going to lead, which is called a pop pass protection, and they just throw right behind it in that window, and Bates is wide open. It should be a 15, 18-yard game, and he fumbles. So you have one of your coolest, most effective plays of the game, schematically, that ends in a fumble. Well designed, well called, poopsie execution, and that's why they're complaining about the execution postgame. So again, are there things that I think Cliff could maybe do differently? Sure, I've got a couple of ideas. We're gonna explore the left side Terry deal at 5:30 in our Jaden Daniels Take Command Tape Tuesday. Logan and I talked through that this morning. We'll play it for you at 5:30. But I do think it's something that is maybe a little more complicated than a lot of folks want to give credit for. Let's get one call in before the break, and then we'll take more calls after at 301-230-0980. 301-230-0980. Let's go to Bruce. Bruce, you're on the Hoffman Show.
Okay, the Hoffman Show. So, Cliff Kingsbury, is his offense falling off the table? Quite the conundrum. A lot of talk about it. Yeah, give me your take.
I mean, Bruce, that's kind of what we were just talking about. Thanks for the call.
All right.
Anthony, you should clap with your mic on.
Oh my! He got on the call with me. Well, he got on the phone with me, and he had a lot of energy about Cliff's offense. Like, he gave me a nice little spiel.
What did Bruce have to say? I wish Bruce had said it, as opposed to just asking me to say the thing I just said after he said it, or after he asked for it.
I mean, some of the stuff you were talking about, Cliff, sort of, kind of, the creativity gone out the window, the everybody's figured him out, he's a little bit predictable. That's what sort of kind of like he was getting at. But then he went to ask you a question.
I
don't know.
We'll continue to talk about it. I'm not trying to be mean or rude to Bruce. It was just kind of like, while you were on hold, the station comes through the phone. So I thought perhaps I don't think Cliff is calling perfect games. I also think that a lot of the problems, like, on the list of problems, I think Cliff Kingsbury's play calling is not remotely close to the top. Now, there is one part of the Terry Jaden thing that I think is probably worth exploring that is a big system-wide deal, right? Which is, if Jaden Daniels prefers to throw to his right or is more comfortable throwing to his right, and a lot of the offense is designed to go right, and Terry is lined up on the left, that's not a good use of personnel, especially when, you know, when Cliff was in Arizona, there were some years he had DeAndre Hopkins, but he also had, like, some other dudes. And so isolating D-Hop as a safety net at all times and then letting those other dudes run around in the three wide receiver side, like, okay. Now, like, Noah Brown's a okay football player. Deami Brown's okay football player. Olamide Zaccheaus, who has seemingly disappeared in this offense, okay football player. Luke McCaffrey, okay football player. The guy that you should be trying to get the ball to is Terry McLaurin. And so if you are lined up on the right, or your offense is designed to often go right, and the spray chart, your quarterback is throwing to the right 70%+ of the time, which is actually the number, and your wide receiver one, who is the best player on your team, is lined up consistently to the left, yes, he is having the best season of his career, But do not let good be the enemy of better. Just like you don't want to let perfect be the enemy of good, don't let good be the enemy of better. And that is a system-level thing. I also think that there's some opportunities potentially for Cliff to throw the ball more on early downs. Jaden is not as good against man as he is against his zone. And so early on in games where you're getting – or early downs where you're getting some of the base, like, cover two, cover three stuff, and it's pretty easy to read out, could they potentially throw the ball more there? Yeah, I'm open to that idea. But I do think just like, hey, can this guy who's blocked pretty well all year hit this block and hold it for a half second longer? That is the bigger issue from in the trenches to the receivers and tight ends blocking to, like, can we catch some of these curls and hitches that Jaden is throwing and throwing well? You know, maybe coaching up a little bit more to the middle of the field, getting guys like Ertz back more involved in the offense. But generally speaking, it's the ability to execute and pass pro and do all these things that are a part of every play rather than the plays themselves and the order and sequence with which they are called and how they are structured being a problem. 301-230-0980. Bruce, I hope I answered your question. And we'll take more of your calls on a Vibe Check Tuesday next. 301-230-0980 is the phone number. Again, that is the Team 980 listener line at 301-230-0980. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. And we are live at Capital One Arena today where the Wizards and Bulls will play tonight. You can come say hi. Just please do it in a commercial break. I'm very ADD. If you talk to me during the show, bad things happen. But you can come say what's up. We're outside section 106, 107 if you're coming to the NBA Cup action tonight. We are taking your calls now, though, on a Vibe Check Tuesday. Your thoughts, feelings, your vibe on the Commanders after this bizarro loss to the Cowboys. A lot of talk about the offense, but if you want to get in on the defense, you got about 10 minutes to do so on that as well. Let's go to Miles in Upper Marlboro. Miles, get us going on this Vibe Check Tuesday.
Hey, Craig, what's going on?
What's up, buddy?
I just wanted to say, you know, my vibe on the Commanders is still, it's still good. Again, it's year one. And I get the defense for Cliff, but I feel like he does need to take, like, some accountability, some blame for personnel. Like, when we were talking about that that John Bates pass and fumble, I mean our second-round pick and Ben Sennett can't do the same thing? Or like, I feel like even after Noah Brown, what did he drop, like three, four passes, it felt like that game, we can't get Luke in there some more. Like, I feel like the personnel on offense has been a bit questionable for, especially since for our high pick tight end who's had like a, I don't even know if he's had more than 5 catches on the season, and we're in week 12. So I think Cliff needs to take partial blame, I think, on the personnel.
Go ahead, finish up, Miles.
No, and just how like just flat this offense has became. Like, I feel like there has to be an adjustment, a switch up, and I mean, we just haven't seen it.
I hear you, Miles, and I think they're good points. My reporter background makes me go, there's probably a reason why. These are smart guys. And like, for instance, on the Bates play, the deception is part of it. No one expects it because it's John Bates. Now, that's a double-sided coin. Like, okay, well, that means you're going to have to throw the ball to John Bates. That is, you'd rather it be Zach Ertz, or I agree that from a juice after the catch standpoint, I'd rather that be Ben Sinnott. But at the end of the day, like, Bates is a professional tight end. He caught the ball. He ran the route well. He can't fumble. And so, like, that's a play that worked and personnel that worked, and then all of a sudden it didn't. Noah Brown is their best outside guy, not named Terry McLaurin. I would like to see Luke McCaffrey get some more looks in that spot, but he, I think, is thought of as more of like a power slot receiver than he is someone who's going to be an outside guy. But he has shown an ability to do that, and he is one that I have some questions about. But, like, what is happening in practice that Luke, a guy that we know his work ethic, we know all that, is not earning the trust of the coaches? Like, that's a good question. But just to assume that it's wrong the way they're doing it, that this isn't the best option, and this team is just not talented in the ways that it hopefully will be next year, nevertheless 2 years from now, I think sometimes is underselling the what these guys are doing. I hope they're not being stubborn. I hope that, you know, maybe they are willing to look at some of this stuff, and maybe some of the stuff does change. I also think that, you know, hey, the Pittsburgh game, the offense wasn't really that bad. And frankly, the Chicago game, they were in the red zone a bunch and they didn't finish. They kicked a bunch of field goals. Pittsburgh game, they actually put 27 on one of the best defenses in the league. Philly game, that was a problem. Dallas game, that's a problem. So in that way, it has only been 2 weeks of really bad performances. And so I think that probably, even though it feels worse because of the losing streak and because of the frustration against Chicago from a finish standpoint, it feels in some way worse than it is. And you also don't want to overreact, if that makes sense.
No, yeah, for sure. I mean, last thing too, I mean, just speaking on the tight ends, I mean, I feel like he is a little bit too reliable on Zach Ertz. I get him and JD have built a rapport, but I mean, how much longer is Zach Ertz here if beyond the season? I mean, I just feel like, I mean, just more players need to be incorporated more. This just in week 12. I mean, that's all. Like, I get.
Yeah, I hear you, Miles. You can only, here's the thing, Miles, and thanks for the call. Like, you can only play one game one season at a time. So, like, yeah, I'd hope that there is. Certainly in the next, maybe next year, and hopefully it's Ben Sinnott. You did draft him in the second round. That turns into Ben Sinnott. That would be sweet. That upgraded tight end for sure. But like, Zach also is very reliable in getting open. And, you know, for an offense that's struggling to be efficient and just get positive yardage in some very important parts of the game, specifically early, like, I would actually go more Zach Ertz. I want him to get like 8 targets a game because I just want Jaden to get in that rhythm of being comfortable throwing the ball over the middle of the field to someone who's reliable. And long term, is that the plan? No, nothing is long term for Zach Ertz at this point in his career. That's just a reality of how long he's been around and kind of where his skill set is. But it can help you right now, and it'll help the quarterback's development, and it'll help the offense get more plays because he's a guy that can convert some first downs for you. And so they've got to make sure that they're using the middle of the field effectively. Like, I think OZ's got to get a little bit more involved in the middle of the field, some of these slants and stuff out of the slot. So I think there's a lot of different things. I mean, shoot, get Terry in the slot more. Like, I don't care if it's the left slot. I would like to see Terry, you know, get some more opportunities from some different spots as well, attack the field a little bit differently. 301-230-0980. Let's go to Michael in New Jersey. Michael, thanks for calling. You are on the Hoffman Show.
How you doing, Craig?
I'm good, Michael. Thanks for checking in.
Always. So I appreciate you taking the time. I was curious if you felt like Jaden's progressions feel more like they're based off Cliff's offense or in the less natural, if that makes sense. Because I feel like early on he was reaching out for Terry earlier in his progression, and now he's trying to, like, read it organically. That's causing more issues for us.
Interesting theory, and I don't – the honest answer is I have no idea because no one in that build – like, this isn't quite the leaky building it used to be. These guys are all pretty coy, and so, one, I'm not there in that building like I used to be, and two, the guys that are and the girls that are, Nikki, John, you know, all these people, if you listen to them, they'll be like, yeah. I mean, John literally said this on his podcast. I was listening to it driving in today. He was like, they don't talk as much as they used to, so it's harder to get some of this information out, which is ultimately probably a good thing for the team. But you have, Michael, touched on something that I wonder about. And I think a lot of people are jumping to the conclusion that it's a Cliff problem. And I don't know whether it's a Cliff or a Jaden problem, which is, how are these plays designed to be read out? And are these decisions, for instance, if you have mirrored concepts, you're 2x2. So you have 2 receivers on one side, 2 receivers on the other. You're getting mirrored coverage. So it's, you know, cover 2, cover 4, cover 1, something where it's not cover 6, where it's quarters on one side and cover 2 on the other. And so basically you have the same exact choice on either side of the play. Are you designing that so it's like, is Jaden picking Terry's side, or more specifically not Terry's side? And if so, why? Is it matchup based, something that was coached up during the week? Is it Jaden's natural preference to throw to the right? Like, what is it? And that is like solving that core conundrum of, is this something that is designed, or are these choices the quarterback is making, is kind of the key to unlocking what the answer is. But I would be lying to you if I had any idea which one it was.
I love that, man. I just appreciate it. I think that's what our next step in evolving as an offense is figuring that part out.
No, I 100% agree, and I hope it's something that either – I mean, it's become a big talking point, and I know the people over there pay attention. So if there's something where they're like, why the hell haven't we thought of this? I hope that they quietly think about it this week. I also wonder if it gets asked in a press conference to Dan Quinn tomorrow or Cliff on Thursday. They're doing like a Zoom deal. They're not doing an in-person on Thursday because it's Thanksgiving, but Cliff will be available. Jaden's obviously going to talk tomorrow as well. And then they have a week off on the bye so they can self-scout. So I'm hoping this is something that comes up and they look at, because ultimately, no matter what the reason is, getting the ball to Terry more and having him be more featured in a more primary look is something that's just good offense. And so hopefully it's something they figure out. Michael, thanks for the call. Really appreciate it. And have a happy Thanksgiving. When we get back here on the Hoffman Show, we will go into our NFL tier rankings. The Commanders, I don't think, are going to be at that top floor anymore. It's a Tischler Tuesday, so Mitch will join us coming up at 5 p.m. It's the Hoffman Show here on the Team 980. Craig Hoffman here being Capital One Arena. Anthony Haney back in our D.C. control room. And it is time, Anthony. It's not the usual time. Typically, we do this at 6 o'clock on Tuesdays. But as we're trying to jam our entire week of shows into basically today, as we're off tomorrow, off Thursday and Friday for the holiday, tomorrow you'll be hearing Maryland Hoops here on the Team 980 at this time. We're going to do our NFL tier rankings now. So it is week 13. We obviously did not do these last week because I was out. But it is time to update the tiers. Anthony, are you ready to perhaps shed some tears as we take a look at where the Commanders wind up?
Yes, sir.
Okay. How far down? When was the last time we did these? I'm trying to find our rankings here. Get these back up in the rundown to where I can see them. And as a reminder, there are four tiers. We actually added a fifth tier last time, specifically for the New York Jets. The top tier is the prime contenders. Then there is the puncher's chance. There's interesting but not quite good enough. There's no chance in hell. And then we have actual hell, which is where the Jets live. So, Anthony, let's get to it. The Kansas City Chiefs, they just keep winning, so they get to stay.
Yes.
All right. The Baltimore Ravens, they had a heck of a performance last night. They get to stay.
Yes, sir.
All right. No real consternation yet. Let's close out this tab so I don't have so many tabs open. The Detroit Lions, they keep winning.
Yep.
The Buffalo Bills, they had a bye, right?
Yep.
And they won 2 weeks ago.
Yep.
So no reason to move them. The Pittsburgh Steelers. Do we still believe in the Steelers after they lost to the Browns on a Thursday night? They did beat the Ravens since the last time we talked as well, though. I kind of think they should stay for now. I do think as some teams fall out of puncher's chance, potentially, and we start to really, really in this final month see the cream of the crop, the Steelers are a prime candidate to drop again. But I think for now they probably belong in this neighborhood.
Yep.
Okay. The Philadelphia Eagles probably belong to be mentioned earlier than they are right now. They have been awesome.
Who do you think is the best team in the NFL, Craig?
The Detroit Lions. Okay. I think that the Eagles are close.
They're closing in on them, baby.
I know the Ravens' record isn't as good, but I still think the Ravens are close.
So you will go Lions, Eagles, Ravens, Chiefs?
I think so, yeah.
A 10-1 Chiefs team is number four. Okay.
Dude, the Chiefs defense has actually been a little leakier as of late.
Yeah,
the offense is starting to make up for it. Like, they got D-Hop. The offense got a little better. The defense has started to lose some pieces, though. And they're missing Legarius Sneed because the other corners they got to replace him that were good are hurt. And their pass rush outside of Chris Jones isn't very good. But they're still 10-1, so, and I think they can clinch a playoff spot this weekend.
That is insane.
I think them and Detroit both can clinch a playoff spot this weekend. And then the Washington Commanders were in prime contenders 2 weeks ago when we did this, Anthony.
They got to go.
Down they go.
We lost to the Dallas Cowboys. They got to go.
They are down. In some ways, I want to put them in actual hell as punishment.
Oh,
you have
my
to go
gosh.
Hang out with the Jets. That's not actually, what we're going to do, though. I still think the Commanders are in puncher's chance. I think that they could, like, they still could be a pain in the butt to face in the playoffs. And they still are on track to make the playoffs. So I think that they belong in puncher's chance for right now. Yeah. They're another loss away from obviously dropping out of that. But let's see what they do against Tennessee, and then they got the bye week. Agreed?
Yeah. Okay. I agree.
Two puncher's chance. Anybody to go up, anybody to go down. Let's start off with the Minnesota Vikings. They have continually won. I still think this is where they belong because they have not, like, they're not playing as cleanly as they were earlier in the year, and they're not as dominant defensively. Like, Sam Darnold occasionally is Sam Darnolding bad. He's still Sam Darnolding enough good to overcome it. And they showed something this weekend, right? No, not a big JJ game, and they still produced.
Sam put up 330.
Yeah. I don't think they belong up higher. Like, they're in this group of teams. They're not in the Ravens, Lions group of teams.
Yeah, I think they're cool. I think the defense, if they can get back to, like, where they were early in the season, I definitely think they'd be a prime contender. But the fact Sam Darnold carried them this weekend says a lot. I don't know.
Yeah. In their division, Packers, we had actually put a star by them, said if they lose, they're going down.
Yeah.
They didn't. They've won two straight since we put that star next to their name. So they're good. The Houston Texans, we had also starred, and then they curb stomped the Cowboys, but then they lost to the Titans. Anthony, do the Texans still have a puncher's chance?
I think we get one more chance.
I think that we do too, because partly that division is so bad, and they're just gonna cruise to the playoffs.
Yeah.
Somehow. So
maybe not. Texans. They gotta play the Titans again, I think. You never know.
Pretty sure, though. Texans, you get to stay for now. The Atlanta Falcons, you are in puncher's chance. You are a team that makes me want to punch myself in the head. Atlanta Falcons, I'm moving them down. I don't think they belong here. I don't think they're that dangerous right now.
Did they
need
have
to put together
last week?
Like two? They did, but 2 weeks ago they lost an embarrassing game.
Yeah,
I don't even remember who was against. I just
think
remember
the Seahawks.
Yeah, they got – or no, they got curb stomped by Denver. That's what it was. They lost like 38-6.
Oh, yeah, it was bad.
And Denver, we might need to talk about going up.
Yes, we do.
But Atlanta needs to go down. The Rams, I still think when they're right and they're healthy, I know they lost pretty bad to Philly, but Philly's really good. I still think a healthy Rams offense, if they can get their offensive line back, I still think they're a little dangerous. The Chargers competed well with the Ravens last night. I still think this is where they belong, even though they lost. And then there's the Cardinals, who had earned their way up, and I'm putting them back down. They're just not good enough.
To be honest, I don't think we can have the Rams in puncher's chance. They're not even their division's leader.
This is why this is hard. Are we doing this off of what we think of the team, or are we doing this based off merit, based off their record?
I mean, the thing is, we've said this about the Rams' offense the last 3 weeks. Oh, they got all these pieces. They lost to the Dolphins. Who do they beat after the Dolphins? They beat the Patriots, and then they got blown out by the Eagles. I just don't think the Rams are good enough. Their defense isn't that good. Like, at
they
all.
They have a pass rush, though. That's the thing that I'm like.
They do.
Against the right. Like, they're such, to me, they're the definition of a puncher's chance. If Stafford has a good day and they protect. I mean, it really is like, if they protect Stafford and that pass rush can get going a little bit, they could beat anyone on any given Sunday. But, all right, you've convinced me. Right now, I'm going to put. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to put the Rams back down with the upward carrot next to their name. Basically, if you can go out and show us something. Rams, we'll move you back up.
And what about the Seahawks, though?
Do we feel like the Seahawks need to come up?
I don't think they need to come up. I think they get a carrot, though.
Okay. That gets us into the interesting but not quite good enough tier. So Falcons, we just moved down. Bears, we had starred. If they lose, they need to drop.
Yeah.
They've lost two straight, but I actually think that they stay because they've actually shown that they are interesting.
They're getting better.
They are interesting. They are not good enough, but they are still interesting. So good for you, Chicago. Seahawks, I think you're right. They've gotten themselves into on the verge territory. What do we do with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers?
they're just the same old Bucks. They're in, like, well, this year anyway, just super because interesting, so banged up,
not yeah. good enough. But they might wind up. I think they get a carrot.
They're going to win their division for sure.
Well, that's the thing. If they
possibly,
if they win the division, they would be a pain in the butt because with Evans back, they're a better team. So I think they're on the verge. Niners, are we just ready to? I don't think I'm ready to put them down in no chance.
Yeah, no chance, but they can be at the bottom of interesting but not good enough.
They had a carrot a couple weeks ago as they were getting healthy. We're going to put an asterisk by them.
How long is Purdy out?
I don't know. I don't think they put him on IR yet, but we'll see. Broncos. That's the team that needs to be under consideration.
Okay,
so we're gonna move the Broncos up. Congratulations, you and your very good defense and your suddenly charging in the Rookie of the Year race, Bo Nix, are up. Colts, we had them starred. They've gone 1-1 since. I think they stay with the star.
Yeah.
Bengals.
They had a bye this week.
They had a bye.
And then they lost a good game, actually.
Yeah, I think they're right where they're supposed to be.
Yeah.
Dolphins are right where they're supposed to be. Interesting, but not good enough. And then we have the Cardinals and Rams. No chance. The Raiders, the Jags, the Patriots, the Panthers. Honestly, Anthony, I'm going to move the Panthers up. Not because I think they have any kind of chance, but they're worth watching to see if this Bryce Young thing is real.
I like Bryce. He looked good against.
That's the best game a quarterback has arguably had against Spags, like, or one of the five best all year, three best all year. It's probably the best game of his career against what's supposed to be a pretty darn good defense.
Yeah, he looked good. Throwing with anticipation, like everything.
He was like 11 of 14 for like 160 yards against the blitz.
Yep.
By the way, Jaden was 1 of 9 for 4 yards against the blitz. Not good. So Carolina, you go up. The Giants.
Do the Titans go up if they win next week? Oh no, they play the Commanders. No, sorry.
I mean,
that would be interesting if Will Levis goes out there and plays well. It's the same. It's the same with Bryce Young, though.
What's their record?
They're 3-7, I think.
Yeah, but here's the thing: Bryce was a 1-1 overall. I'm way more interested in that than Will Levis.
Yeah, you're right.
So Raiders, Jags, Patriots, Titans, Giants,
Do the
Saints,
Cowboys move up?
No, they still stink. They played bad in one. The Browns, on principle, they stay, even though they beat the Steelers because the week before they lost to the Saints. And funny enough, Anthony, even coming off a bye week, the Jets are still in actual hell.
Yeah, they are.
Congratulations, Jets. You are still on your own in the bottom of Poopsville. That is our NFL tier rankings. We'll do them again next Tuesday after week 13. When we get back, Mitch Tischler joins us to talk about the Cowboys Commanders circus football game from Sunday.